you talk about in your columns the fact that there is still this divide. In November, right after the election, you said the election solved nothing. We've had divides before. You pointed out still the nature and the depth of the divide that's dangerous. Could you elaborate on that?
The situation initially deteriorated, I would say, in the early to mid-90s with the Clintons and the whole kind of questions surrounding their integrity. And some of the questions were reasonable, some of the questions were unreasonable. But the parties kind of started dividing along party lines there. And obviously, we had an impeachment, not a conviction, we had an impeachment there. And that was kind of the step down. And the internet was coming on then, and cable news was taking over. And there was more of a anger and bitterness and distrust. Trust and distrust is a huge factor in American politics, in any politics. I mean, if you don't trust your opponent, you're going to resort to extra legal or extra normal means. So that's where trust first deteriorated. And now we've been going through a period of intense suspicion on the part of many in the electorate. We have people who for years felt that politicians were promising something and then never delivered it. So they were frustrated out of that. And that takes us up to Donald Trump and an electorate where almost half, say 46% of the electorate, is angry. Again, doesn't trust the opposition, even with a greater intensity than during the Clinton years. And so kind of the way people get their information, the internet, Hannity, Cuomo, and the like, it has produced a very fragile political system. You know, we saw what happened on January 6th. There are no signs of great willingness to compromise. Joe Biden campaigned as a compromiser, as a kind of a figure from the past who, you know, knew the Senate and knew senators and could get them to work together. It's clearly really hard to do that.
You also have observed the divide in the Republican Party, which has happened before, but you predicted earlier this year, and I don't know whether that's changed anything since observing the CPAC meeting recently, that the fracture could heal pretty quickly. You point out that the Republicans will come together against taxes, regulation, global climate change, voting rights issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that there's also this difference in on the Democratic side between the extremes of the progressives on either side, because the progressives want it their way or not at all.
There's a lot there to unpack. Let me start with the Republican side and then move to the Democratic side. I don't believe, and I'm writing now, that there is not a, I told a reporter earlier today that in my view, there is not a civil war, because a civil war requires two sides with some clout and it doesn't have to be equal support or equal ammunition, but they have to, there has to be some sort of a serious fight. I think the Republican Party is Trump's party, and there are some Republicans who are uncomfortable with that, many of whom have left, some of whom are still in the party, like Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, a House member. You have former members like Charlie Dent in Pennsylvania, Bethlehem, Allentown area. So, you know, there are some Republicans still on the Hill, but mostly off the Hill, who are angry and upset and pulling their hair out at Donald Trump. But it really is his party. I don't believe that there was what I would call a kind of a traditional fracture. There were people who are unhappy with how the party has changed, and they are complaining and they're looking for a standard bearer, and they're hoping to have to be able to organize, but they've got to show something, because the grassroots is still the president's party. It's really amazing. A man who is so controversial, Donald Trump, so controversial, and in some ways so different than the old Republican Party. By the old Republican Party, I'm talking about the party of George H.W. Bush, even George W. Bush, Bob Dole, Mitt Romney. That was the old Republican Party, and he's so different. To some extent, it's issues, but to a larger extent, it's style and his position on cultural issues, where the Republicans used to be about bringing people in and having them enjoy the benefits of the United States and become the melting pot, the trumpling of the party, See that? I just said the Trump wing of the party. That is the only wing of the party. The dominant wing of the party, the only wing of the party, culturally seems very different, that they're hesitant to embrace those folks. I don't think there has been a split. There have been defections. There will continue to be defections to the extent that the president goes after Adam Kinzinger and Mitt Romney and Mitch McConnell and Nikki Haley, anybody who said anything the least bit negative. Nikki Haley has criticized the president and then realized, whoops, I went too far, and came back and talked about what a great speech he gave at CPAC. And there could be more defections. The Republican voters in the suburbs, upscale, college-educated, white women and men who used to vote Republican simply on taxes and the size of government, and they didn't like big labor and the like, I think those people may continue to peel off toward the Democrats. On the other side, the election masked a huge division on the Democratic side. And it was easy for all the Democrats from Ilhan Omar and AOC to Joe Manchin and Nancy Pelosi and pick who you want, Doug Jones of Alabama, who lost the Senate race. But it was easy for all those people to line up against the Republican Party of Donald Trump. When you have Joe Biden in the White House, suddenly Joe Biden becomes the top issue. Joe Biden becomes the person who sets the agenda. When he makes a comment, if it's controversial, it gets on the news. Not Kevin McCarthy, the Republican minority leader in the House. A few cycles ago, the Republicans ran against Nancy Pelosi as if she was somehow comparable to Donald Trump in power and influence. And you know, there are people who react to her viscerally, just as they react to Trump viscerally. But when you have a president like Donald Trump, the president is always the issue. And even a president like Joe Biden, the president is always the issue. I mean, we used to get presidential honeymoons of 6 months to a year, and now it's probably 6 hours to a week. But the Democratic division is clear, Ilhan Omar and the AOC, but there are others, Ro Khanna of California. There are kind of progressives in the Senate who want to do away with the filibuster. Connecticut's Senator Murphy has been a critic of the filibuster. So there is the kind of progressive wing of the party. At some point, they're starting to show some worry with the Biden strategy and agenda and the process. And they don't want to compromise on the minimum wage. In some respects, good for Democrats if former President Trump becomes a major figure once again, and he's tweeting and he's talking and he's giving speeches, because he's such a controversial figure. It could keep the Democrats united. But the Democrats have a significant split between the progressives and the establishment Democrats. And let's be very clear. The establishment Democrats are very liberal. It's not like they're conservative. It's just that they have a different view of process and how government works, the importance of negotiating with the other side. And so there is a deep division in the Democratic Party, too. It's starting to emerge now, and it could get bigger. There's no question about it, though. Later it goes, the more progressives will say, well, gee, he didn't deliver on this. He being Biden didn't deliver on one or two or three or four or five. And at some point, they'll get really angry, and it could be a confrontation between the two elements of the Democratic Party.
There's a case in front of the Supreme Court, or coming up to the Supreme Court, on voting rights issues. But also there's been something like more than 100 bills introduced in state houses around the country. Is there any sense yet where that's going to be going, based on your conversations with people around the country?
Given this court, you can't assume that they are going to go out of their way to protect voting rights the way other courts have, the way the Warren court did, or Justice Brennan and Warren or Thurgood Marshall and the like. There is deep concern on the Democratic side about just making it more difficult for people to vote. So that's the general sense. Congress, the Republicans don't seem interested in acting. And at the state level, to the contrary, as you point out, the Republican legislators and governors seem to have concluded that one of the lessons they learned is too many damn people voted last time. And they're taking steps to make it more difficult for people to vote. Then obviously this will go through the courts and could go through, will go through state legislatures, Congress and the like. But it's a problem for Democrats. There are things that offset that, which is demographic changes in the country, where the country has more people of color and kind of more diversity, and the younger generation is more progressive. That offsets some of the legislative changes, but not all of them in every state.
Is there a question that you don't get that you think people should be asking you about what's going on these days?
I think they should be concerned with the fundamental strength of the democracy. We have a little break here of 4 years with Joe Biden. In 2 years, the Republicans may well take over the House and the Senate. You know, if history is any guide, midterm elections, the president's party loses. The Democrats only have a 5-seat majority in the House. The Senate is split evenly. One of the seats that was won in Georgia last time is up next year. I think that democracy is very fragile. I'm not usually a Chicken Little, sky is falling person, but I wonder, can we take another 4 years if norms are violated? This has nothing to do with matters of public policy of oil drilling or tax level of taxes or how much spending we do on the children's health. Those are all separate issues. I always figure people have the right to decide for themselves how they think about and how they feel about matters of public policy. Depending, everybody comes from a different kind of religious experience or no religious experience. Grew up in a different economic situation. All those things go into people making decisions. But for me, the process is really important, keeping it fair and honest. I'm just concerned that over the past 4 years, a lot of the rules of the road have been violated. And I worry that in 4 or 6 or 8 years, will we be back to an environment that is kind of dangerous for democracy and for limited government and for checks and balances and for the media, which all of which are necessary and are crucial institutions for our future.